David Hooper is the RFATS director. RFATS stands for the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transportation Study. They meet once a month, and following that meeting, David comes here on Palmetto Mornings to kind of update us about some of the big topics that have come out of that meeting. And good morning to you, David.
Well, Lucas, Ashley, good morning.
Good morning.
What's great about David, he brings us visuals. Mm-hmm. And we know in radio sometimes you got to have theater of the mind, and we try our best. But this show is also on social media and on television. So if you're watching us, we're going to be showing up in a quick minute some maps. So, David, which one do you want to go first? The one that Ashley has or the one that I have?
Probably the one that you have, if we can.
Yeah, okay. So we're looking at the 2023 annual update.
Right, and let me give a little context here. After our last meeting, when we talked about identifying a preferred alternative for reconfiguring the Celanese I-77 interchange, there was some discussion among the policy committee about what other things can we do? What other tools are available to us to extend the useful life of these types of improvements? And that was a very important question that caught everyone's attention, because if you think of the money involved, where we're looking at Celanese or the work that's going on up at 160 or the work that's planned up at Carowinds, this is really significant. So this map you're showing up on screen is a reflection of the latest changes in population and employment across the planning area. Those pink highlighted areas are where we saw changes in new homes being built or where people were moving in 2022. Mm-hmm. And then the blue hatched areas there identify where we saw a shift a year later. And so we try to give them a sense of where people concentrated within the planning area and are there any shifts on a year-over-year basis given how dramatic our growth is.
So obviously that growth looks like it's heavy in the Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, but out in Western York County, York seems to be pushing closer to Rock Hill than ever before.
It is, and it's one that we've watched, both York and Clover. They're just outside the RFATS planning area, but if we think of the growth we've seen over the last couple of decades, it's been largely along the I-77 corridor, Fort Mill, TKK, Rock Hill. And then, of course, if you go to the eastern side, it's been all along 521 in the Panhandle. Another significant area is westward expansion of urbanized growth, and we're seeing that in York and Clover. And so, as you say, it's moving closer and closer to the RFATS planning area.
Now, what is the map that Ashley, what is she holding up right now?
Well, Ashley has a map that highlights key corridors. There are all kinds of major roads within the RFATS area, but there are three critical corridors that gather all the vehicle demand across the planning area. Mm. And you've got one is the Celanese corridor, which captures York. You've got the 160 corridor is another critical corridor, and then 521. Those are the three corridors of all the roads across RFATS that really carry the bulk of vehicle demand day in and day out.
David, I had to go to Celanese yesterday, and I got caught in the 515, 530 traffic, and it was almost stretched from where I was almost on Mount Gallant all the way back to the interstate.
Yes.
And I told my wife, I said, if you really look at it, it's three lanes one way, three lanes the other way, and a turning lane basically in the middle. And all of that is full. And I know you've said before, you can't widen yourself out of a problem.
No.
What is going to happen there at Celanese? We were told originally that all the expansion of Celanese would alleviate some of that pressure, but it just attracted more, like
people.
Ants.
Yes.
It's like ants.
Yes.
So what's going to be done there? What can happen?
Absolutely. I think what you're describing is, you know, we all know the phrase, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
If you widen it, it will be filled over time. They will come. And so on a transitional basis, and it's not insignificant, it can be a good 10 to 15 years before you'll see it really hit full capacity again. But one of the things we can do, you know, we have to deal with the built environment, as we say, at the MPO level, and ask ourselves, how can we make people's movement as safe, as reliable, so they can plan their day, and as consistent as it can be? And that's why you see us focusing on the interchanges. Those are those central convergence points where everyone who's coming off of those side roads from their homes gravitate towards. And so we need to make sure that You can move through there safely and effectively. If you've ever seen how quickly, next time you're going out there, look at the spacing between the cars as they come off Celanese and they get on the ramp. It's like this.
It's hardly any. Mm-hmm.
And if space. One person, if there's one accident, everything is thrown off. Everyone's morning commute is thrown off, separate from the actual impact of the accident itself. So we try to add to that capacity, and that's what we're looking at here at Celanese, which is going from one lane to get onto I-77 to doubling that to two, and then making the trek down Celanese more predictable, so you don't have people coming in the middle lanes and then seeking to cut in right at the last minute before they get on.
And I know we're talking about Celanese like getting onto the interstate. But going back to what you just talked about with Lucas's map in Western York County, Celanese is also a huge thoroughfare to get to that Western York County area. I mean, of course, we have Highway 5 as well, but Celanese will also take you straight out that way. So are there plans to figure out Celanese going away from the interstate but to that Western York County area where we're seeing that pink and blue pop up? What does that look like?
Right. I don't know that we're going to see more capacity additions, because through the Penney's program over the last couple of decades, they've widened most of the major corridors. I know when I tell people years ago, if you can believe it, Celanese was a two-lane facility. They don't believe me, as was 160. But we've done most of the widening there on Celanese. And so what we're focused on is saying, let's shift a bit from the built environment after the planning decisions have been made to the other side of the planning equation. So when cities, towns, and counties outline their vision for how they want to grow or where they want that growth to occur, or the type of growth, which is it residential? Is it a business? What type of residential? Is it single family or multifamily? All of these subtle distinctions have different operational impacts. You've got different levels of density at these locations, but they all channel in to one roadway that's already a built reality. So what we try to do is say, let's focus on the land use side of things, but let's also focus more on some constraining variables. There's a term we use called access management. Have you ever seen where there's a slight island in the road so people can't come out and straddle the center of the road to go left or right? And if they get it wrong, you have an accident. Sometimes they'll put in a concrete median, which will route people a certain way, and it removes an element of driver uncertainty about who has the right of way. And this matters in a fast-growing environment where there's a lot of people out there. The margin for error is very, very narrow. And so in answer to your question, one of the things we're looking at is the expansion of access management along the corridor, so we don't have people cutting from one side to the other for their personal convenience. We have to think a little bit more about how the network functions, because as you say, Celanese is one of those corridors that's channeling demand toward I-77 as well as away from it. And as urbanized growth moves closer to York, that's going to become more important, not less.
Speaking with David Hooper, he is the RFATS director. Once again, RFATS stands for the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transportation Study. They meet once a month. David comes here on Palmetto Mornings to give us a recap of what took place. Any other highlights that came out of the February meeting? Any decisions, any plans moving forward, any votes that will put a project into motion?
Well, we finalized a couple of things. A lot of it was procedural at this meeting, and that happens every once in a while. The most important was really this presentation here on the land use side of the planning equation, and asking that our city, town, and county councils really reflect on the staff reports they get when you get a proposed development. Does it fit in that area? Are you achieving the right type of residential and commercial mix? And one of the other things that we talked about, and I've been a proponent of this, is a regional economic development strategy, which is we can invest hundreds of millions of dollars into improving the interchanges, but not all the demand as we continue to grow is going to go north toward Charlotte. Some of that will occur, but if you've got more businesses that continue to locate within the planning area, we will have more intra-area trips where the trips start and end within the same planning area. And so as you see growth going toward York and Clover, what we're emphasizing is, let's think about the residential to commercial mix. Let's think about clustering commercial development so that when people leave their homes, they can achieve what we call a multi-purpose trip. That is, you can get and go to one, say, mall or employer, and you can get your food shopping. You can fill up the car. You can go to the cleaners by being in one general area rather than having it structured where they've got to go in more places on the road network and create or sustain unnecessary congestion, if that makes sense.
David, if you look long range through this year for RFATs, what is the next big decision that will come up for discussion, I guess? Like, any big plans will be revealed? Kind of what does the future hold in the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, we've got a couple of things that are pending right now. One is moving forward on the Carowinds feasibility study. That will be important. One of the others is one that I may have mentioned previously, which is we're at the point where we're going to initiate our CSAP, which is a Comprehensive Safety Action Plan, where we're going to have a complete plan focused on not safety as an element of the planning process, but the core outcome of the planning initiative itself. Because as we piece together all of the growth in the area, people's ability to move around safely, whether they're in a vehicle, on a bicycle, out jogging, is going to become more, not less important. And so that's a new initiative for us. It's something that we're excited about. I would also say that trying to move forward the needed widening on US 521 is also going to be critical. We've done the study there looking at a range of options, but as with any of these major corridors, it has a price tag. And we have to put together the funding package to make that reality.
Roads are not cheap, David, are they?
No, they are not.
They're slow to build. And as soon as you build it, it's usually kind of out of date, so to speak.
Yeah, and we have to get it right, which is when you're in an area where you're making planning decisions in real time and the area is evolving as you're making decisions, you really have to approach it in the most thoughtful manner that you can.
Well, we certainly appreciate the work of RFATs and, of course, all the agencies that get together once a month to kind of bring the best together to figure out how to get us from point A to point B faster and safer. David Hooper, once again, is the RFATs director. David, thank you very much.